Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Hello, filthy animals. My name's Ben Vanell, and with us as always...
Good afternoon, everybody. My name's Adam Knox. You both sounded very polite during that intro.
We're kind and knowledgeable boys.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm the renegade. Bullshit. Fuck off.
Whoa.
I'll say anything. Tomorrow.
I think we were speaking just as normal. Yeah. I think something to do with you having the headphones on this week has made it seem more polite.
Maybe.
Because it's right in your ears, which makes you think that we're talking directly to you.
The most polite thing someone can do is lean in close and say something right into my ear. Thank you, sir. The European method.
Do you feel like a listener of the show now? Because it's being piped directly into your ears for a change.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to shut up and see what you two do and just listen to this episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's this going, Adam? Sorry,
I told you what I was going to do.
Sorry. Ben, how was your day?
It was good, yeah. Busy day at work, but, you know, it's better to be busy than bored. That's what I always say.
Yeah, that's
Tommy.
What I always say, too. Speaking of bored, but that doesn't really count as you listening to the show because you weren't contributing, Adam. That was just like, that was a side podcast that me and Ben do where I just ask him about his day.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do some active listening.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's good.
That's the dumbest technique. They teach you, like, do active listening.
Where do they teach you that?
In, like, things where they...
Who taught you this?
Yeah.
No, in corporate development.
Clearly weren't a good
teacher. You know, those corporate development-y type things where they're like, here's how to do, you know, meetings properly and to make sure that all your co-workers are happy with. You've never done that
shit? I've worked in corporate jobs for 8 years.
But you work in a job where you brag about how much...
Oh,
whoop-dee-doo. Your job is a yelling at each other job. Your job will be the Mad Men of 50 years.
He's not on fucking Wall Street.
That's what he does, right?
Selling pens all day.
Just because it's involved with sport, I assume everyone's constantly at full volume.
You think he's an umpire?
Actually, that's...
yeah. Or a football player. Which, there's aspects... No.
I like to piss on windows, but other than that...
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying, though, the active listening thing. I've never learnt it, but I know that I do it. And the only reason I know that is from people who listen to this. We've gotten a few tweets and emails over the time that we've done it.
Uh-huh,
God, it pisses me off when you guys just, while someone's talking, you just go, right, yep, uh-huh. And it's
I've copped that as well.
I never knew that I did it.
I've copped that as well.
Yeah. We all do it.
I try consciously not to, but I bet I do at points.
I think you don't.
I try to hold back.
Yeah.
Because I have listened to podcasts where that happens and gotten annoyed about it as
really?
Well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it can be distracting, and that's my problem with active listening, is that you're paying attention to how much people think you're hearing. You know what I mean? You're thinking about yourself while you're This is why it's hard to listen to
you
me.
You need to practice active speaking.
Well, because I've got the headphones on this week. I'm hearing everything I'm saying. I'm like, who's this fucking idiot? Get out of my ear.
It sounds like it's coming in on a delay or something. Yeah.
I think it is a little bit. It's driving me insane.
What I do, take one off.
Take
there
one
you go.
Off.
Oh, this is even worse because now the creative side of my brain can still hear it, but the math side, it cannot.
I think this would have been more frustrating to listen to than us just active listening.
I am surprised to hear that people find it annoying to listen to, because when people have hit us up about it, I'm like, who cares? Mm. What difference does it make?
It distracts me from what the person is saying.
The
main person talking. Okay. It distracts me from... I'm like, let me hear them say okay. Stop it with whatever you're saying. I want to hear, uh-huh, yep.
But I have...
Ooh, baby. Maybe if we start doing it like that, like a little more Austin Powers-y jumping in, like, hell yeah, okay. Shagadelic.
Yeah, just Shagadelic instead of mm-hmm.
Holy fuck a moly. Jump in with a couple of them.
Well, we got pulled up on it a while ago, and it's made me... it's made me self-conscious when I do it now, but not self-conscious enough to actively work on stopping doing it. Because it's just so ingrained in how I respond to things.
Isn't it just how you have a conversation as well? Like,
but that's what Adam's saying, is that you're not meant... That's not...
In
you're
broadcast,
not meant to.
You're not meant to, sure.
I sit motionless and stare until the person has finished talking and I can tell my story.
Okay, Dave Callan. Because that's my go... So, yeah, not to tell tales out of school, but Dave Callan is someone who, when you talk to him, he's a real listener, where he just lets you go, often to the point where you sort of stop speaking and then he's just still silent and you're like, yeah, anyway, then I was at home and I'd got into bed and I just really don't know what else to tell you.
That's one of those like interviewer techniques though, where if you just sit and don't jump in with another question for longer, someone will reveal more about themselves because the human instinct is to fill that dead air.
The old enough rope technique.
Yeah. Andrew Denton, the king of the wish he'd be quiet more people.
Wow.
Yeah. That guy I never bothered to watch. I've got shit to say about it.
But so Callan, yeah, he just really lets you speak and he is really listening and you get the sense that he is really listening.
Which is a nice trait.
Yeah.
Totally. But it I know that it makes me very uncomfortable being on the other side of it. Do you know what I mean? So I'm actively working to not be that.
You're trying to
give
someone a little safety net the whole time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I
yeah.
am. I'm engaged. I'm involved.
Hubba hubba. Going along.
Yep. Not gonna shagadelic.
Hubba hubba.
Classic Austin Powers.
I don't know, boys. What's the right answer? What do we do here? Do we just accept that we do it and not bother trying to change?
Absolutely. Yeah, because, be like, who you are.
We're having a conversation with each other. And that's what this podcast is. It's not necessarily us like doing a professional radio broadcast.
That's the magic of podcasting, is that it's the alternative to traditional broadcasting. Mm.
But isn't that what you're saying, is that you're not even meant to do it in conversation?
I don't know.
If you're not actively trying to be like a corporate fucking weirdo.
The goal of me to tell someone how to act naturally in a conversation, I don't know.
That's true. That's
you got to jump in every 6 seconds with a, can I leave?
Whose is that? Are you going to finish that?
Pointing at a car.
But yeah, anyway, in summary, go fuck yourselves whoever tweeted that to us, because it's really, it's clearly gotten under all of our skin.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not the host this week just because I got the headphones on as well. I want you to drive it still.
Oh, really?
I can be the host if you want. Well, be anything you want me to be. Groovy.
Oh,
there's a. I was going to throw to news stories that I'm not that you're way more across than me. So
this I can do.
I can throw to you the Andy Richter to Mike Conan.
All right. Well,
big mistake.
Andy Richter. He does long pauses. That's his thing.
He looks at his phone a lot.
I bet he does. I bet he does while he's there. He's just checking
his
messages.
Yeah, they don't cut to him when he's doing
it. Why do you have to look this up? We were talking about this literally right before we pressed record.
Because I don't have a perfect memory.
Microsoft had a big convention thing, a big conference about
XO18.
Xbox. Yeah, XO18.
They used to do these back in the day of XO6 and so on, when they were talking about the 360, obviously. Back then, and they do it. This is the first one they've done in a few years.
I feel, I thought that I did not recognize this as a thing because PlayStation does it every year.
Yeah,
or Sony does,
but they didn't this year. They didn't do their TGS one. I'm pretty sure, or not TGS. That's Tokyo Game Show. Whatever their one is, the PlayStation.
Yeah, the
conference.
PEN or something. The PEN 15.
The PENIS.
Club. They haven't done it for 3 years. Yeah.
But And I think they kind of said, oh, we've got some stuff to announce, but, And I think it's a pretty, like, there's no new games, I don't think, been announced, unless I'm not across something that happened. But
it's not even old games.
Well, there's some. Yeah. There's fucking Crackdown 3, which I think is the oldest game in the world.
What's old is new again.
Or never going to happen still. But, yeah, that got a date, apparently.
Mid-Feb. 2019, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's fucking 3 months away.
I think it's 5 years since it was meant to come out as well.
Whoa.
Mm. Around the launch of the Xbox One?
I think that's when they were saying, which would have been 2013.
Yeah.
So it's been a fucking while.
Yep. It doesn't look good. I don't think it looks like they've spent 5 years making it better.
They've spent a bunch of sets of a year and a half making it again and again.
And firing a team and, yeah.
Oh, just because the whole thing with it was going to be the cloud helped to make the buildings fall better or something. It was going to be the new world of cloud computing.
Oh.
And it's not just your console. It's every console in the world that is working towards making this building fall over.
Oh, which even like... that as a philosophy has shifted to just like the streaming thing. Like that's the new version of that.
That doesn't sound like a real thing that's possible. If you saw that as a plot, as like a villain's plot in a trailer for an action movie, you'd be like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Fuck off Skynet. Yeah. But that was the idea and that might come out. And like you, I'm not really interested in if it does or not anymore, to be honest.
Yep. Yeah. What if their strategy has now just been, all right, look, let's be realistic. It's not going to be the best game of all time, which, you know, for having taken us this long, that's the kind of infamy, you know, that's the kind of like status you want to achieve.
Yeah.
It's just the odds are that it's just going to be middling. So let's just go the other way and spend this remaining time trying to make it the worst game of all time, because that is the only way this thing is going to have any kind of legacy beyond about 6 months.
Even then, though, they're competing with Duke Nukem Forever, which, like, it's still an uphill battle, or a downhill battle.
That's great. You walk into the studio and they're all just studying Duke Nukem Forever day in and day out, making notes like, well, this bit could be worse. We found a gap where we can unimprove upon this.
You know what, though? Terry Crews.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
He would be a good Duke Nukem. If they made a movie where Duke Nukem was self-aware,
right?
You know what I mean?
I think that's they've mucked up in making it the worst game there as well, because it's like, oh yeah, he would be actually fun and funny as an over-the-top character.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just he's gonna like slot into a grey shitty game probably.
Yeah, but so that's still coming out.
I don't know, boys. I'm gonna buy an Xbox just for it.
You need
Ben,
to.
Let's you and me buy Xboxes. All right.
That's why it hasn't come out yet, is because there weren't the 20 million Xboxes they needed to make the cloud work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is still sounds made up in the first place.
I might do it. That's so harebrained. Oh. I kind of love that. The Xbox episode.
That was some of the most interesting shit in like a real intangible kind of way. At this point, that Microsoft seems to be really ahead of the curve in how much it's dedicating itself to like the Game Pass thing, making that work anywhere, having gaming streaming service.
Yes,
we're gonna get in the fucking ground floor and be the Netflix.
Yeah. It is so ahead of the curve, and we've said this heaps, but it's just everything's gonna be doing that eventually, and hats off to them for really going full force.
Totally,
with it.
They are so early to that fight, that it's gonna work in their favor, and it's not necessarily the first one through the door who always wins with that shit. So maybe.
Do you think
it will work
in their favor, though?
I really don't know because
it's all about the library. So as soon as it's all subjective, of course. But
but they're competing with Google and with like companies like that who are starting to invest into this stuff. So it's not going to be like Xbox 2, PS5, whatever the next things are. I don't think that's the fight they're gearing themselves up to have.
Right.
I think they're like, whatever, Sony can do this thing backwards again. Like, they're betting on Sony fucking up and doing a PS3 thing again, thinking we're top of the world. We can come out with whatever the shit we think is good is.
Yes.
Right.
Packing in a VR headset and charging an extra $200 or something.
And then Microsoft charges nothing, effectively. They charge $10 a month. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to invest in the console. Even with that hiring console thing, did we ever talk about that?
Hiring?
So this is only in America, I think, but you can basically lease an Xbox and you own it at the end. So it's like $30 US a month to have the Xbox, Xbox Live, and a Game Pass thing.
Oh, that's huge.
That's massive. So fucking smart.
And that's like through them. That's the thing that they've kicked off.
It's their thing.
And you get every non-exclusive game, which there are a lot of.
Totally. It's a phone contract for your Xbox, and it costs way less than a phone does.
Ooh.
It's really fucking smart. Like they need to wait until that generation reset sort of time.
Annoying if you leave your Xbox in the back of a cab and then you've got to pay off the rest of it, though.
Everyone's got a smashed Xbox screen.
Anyone got an old Xbox I can borrow, guys? Hit me up on here if you need me.
Send me your new gamer ID. I lost them all.
Mine's in the toilet.
Idea of it, though, is great. And when the next sort of shift along and everyone's looking to go, okay, what's next?
Honestly, that could be it. Like, the one thing, honestly, right now that's stopping me from just getting an Xbox One X is justifying to myself that $400, $500.
If
it's $30 a month, I'm doing it.
And their proposition with the X as well, where it's like it'll make your existing games look better.
Mm.
You can't do that if someone doesn't have any Xbox games. But then if you can suddenly go, you've immediately got 100 Xbox games,
right. Yes.
Then fucking real clever.
Yep.
Phil Spencer, who is like the head of all the Xbox shit, I think he is a real switched on dude.
Mm.
I reckon he will be the guy forever. But like, it just how much they've turned around in the years since it was the previous dude whose name I forget, Matthew something? I can't remember.
Matthew Newton.
That was it. It was Newton's son, Matthew Newton, when he was going out punching everyone working for him.
Yep. Bad move.
Gambled all Microsoft's money away.
Yeah, I think the shareholders hated that one.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Ben. If that, I've still got a few things that I need to buy for my apartment that are costly. That I'm like, getting an Xbox would be cool, and give me a couple more things here and there to talk about on this pod. But I just can't. But I would get one tomorrow if it was like $30,
$15 and a Bluetooth controller.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely the future.
Yeah,
it's what everybody likes at the moment. Everyone's moving more and more digital and less permanent with their ownership of shit. Nobody minds having licenses for things instead of ownership over them at this point. That's just the way that everything is going.
And honestly, like the marketing campaign it's like a phone plan, but but for games.
Totally. You don't even need the console at the next point as well. Mm. Like eventually, it's like you can do this in your browser.
Yes.
Not in Australia ever is one of the problems with it. But
Microsoft.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the solution for us is to get the console thing so you can download it to that and play it normally.
Yeah.
If you've got a fast enough internet connection, you can do it.
Yeah.
And like weirdly, Capcom is fucking ahead of the curve with this shit too, testing all out Resident Evil 7 and whatever on the Switch. Yeah. Mm. Like this is what people are putting their eggs into the basket of.
But one thing I will say is that you're right, it's very ahead of the curve in a technical sense, in a hardware sense and everything, but they still do not have any games that most people give a fuck about.
They have
such a fucking blank slate for, I feel like we've been talking about that on this pod for 2 years now minimum.
To that end, on top of the people who they were like, we acquired all these companies at E3.
Yep. Mm.
This one they announced they've got Obsidian Entertainment and In Exile Entertainment. So Obsidian, people probably know more because that's like Fallout New Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Knights of the Old Republic 2.
A whole bunch of like really kind of cult classic more so RPG games. And a lot of the times the problems with them is that they lost funding towards the end of the project and it fucked up. And that's been their through line with every game.
Really strong creative vision, great writing, but technical issues because of funding.
So chuck those people into Microsoft's Scrooge McDuck money pit and they're coming out choking on coins. I would play that.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And In Exile Entertainment are similar. They're both made up of people who used to be Black Isle, who made like Baldur's Gate and shit back in the day. So like proto-BioWare as well. And proto-BioWare is the nerdiest thing I've ever said.
We're in your big fat Sennheiser.
Your big fat Sennheiser headphones that I fucking... And also Sennheiser have great headphones.
This really is giving you some self-awareness, like having to hear yourself back.
Yeah, I know. This is sending me insane. This is literally like one of those ancient Greek torment type things.
Well, this is why we are the way we are.
Yes.
Me and Ben, because we have to listen to you every
day. Well, I'm so sorry for all of my transgressions.
Oh, listen to him. I thought you meant like, because we used to, you know, usually do the monitoring. So we've gone insane ourselves listening to ourselves.
Right.
Looking at yourselves in a mirror for eternity wouldn't send you crazy, but looking at a photo of me, that's a Sisyphean torment. So they're similar. They did like that Torment Tides of Numenera game, which I didn't play. And like
Hello, Numenera.
The reboots of Wasteland, similar types of games.
Yep.
So they got two big RPG studios. And all those other ones who I can't remember off the top of my head which ones they were.
A few indie ones, like some, they all had at least something that was interesting in their back catalog.
Totally.
Yeah.
And they were things that are different from Forza and Gears and Halo, which are the Microsoft things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, do you reckon they've just tapped out and they're now just gearing up for the next?
Absolutely.
Getting ready to go hard at the dawn of the next jet.
I'd say at that point it's not even tapping out. This is so much smarter. That's what got the 360 over the line as much as it did too, that they came out a full year before everything.
Mm. And it sounds like this may come out, and it's not even like coming out, it's like an iteration almost of what they've been doing for 5 years. They're going to come out so far ahead of the curve that they're probably just going to like shape what gaming is.
The reasons I could see it falling down is if it's too confusing. if it's got too many options where it's like, so it's $15 a month for this, and then your Xbox Live subscription is this much, and you can buy the console, or you can do it through your browser if you've got enough internet.
Which,
and
like weirdly, the games industry can be guilty of that. For something that, like, you should be able to just be like, these are the five benefits, and this is how much you pay.
Like, this is the one hook. You need to be able to come out and say, boom, this is our thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think Microsoft specifically were guilty of being like, here are all the tech specs of the Xbox, and that's why you should buy this.
And here's your TV through it. Here's the fucking NFL thing we've got. Here's the thing that you can talk to, the camera, and like.
And that stupid thing they had where you were
always
you weren't
going
to be able to. Yeah, yeah, that's right. You weren't going to be able to like
share games
or some shit.
Which
like that.
Weirdly, they were actually ahead of that then. That's where shit's gone. They just made that move too early.
They sort of didn't do it right.
No, their messaging was wrong, and then Sony fucking pounced on.
The next day, but like they may well have been planning to do the same thing, but they were just like, hey, we're not doing that, so buy a PlayStation.
Totally. That some of that stuff seems so cobbled together at the last minute, but it was fucking genius at the time.
So we
all think that like E3 next year is going to be Sony and Microsoft going, here's the next.
Possibly even earlier, because that's what they did with these consoles, is had them announced in like March or something.
Right.
And then E3 is where you just go wild and show off all the stuff.
So you can get all the like less sexy stuff out of the way of like giving a big fucking spreadsheet presentation of how it's all going to work. Do that in the earlier thing that only the real invested people will watch. And then in your big showpiece, you go, here's an explosion and the word $15.
Sure.
Is that a word? Just the symbols that mean $15.
And like, this is what it looks like. Isn't this the one you want to buy?
Yeah.
Like that simple.
Someone walking along the street, opening up their fucking MacBook or whatever and just starting to play a game Switch style. Like that's how they get their Switch pitch that everybody likes now. Switch pitch. It's Britney's Switch pitch. That they say, it's fucking portable now. You can do it anywhere if you've got an internet connection, or even if you don't, maybe. Or like,
wow, it could be that possible.
You could, well, like, you could maybe download it to it and then take it, or whatever.
Oh, sure, like Netflix style. You can download movies. Yeah,
I still think that's the biggest kind of question / hurdle to get over is the reliance on internet connectivity
and data limits
stuff.
Like games are 100 fucking gigabytes each now.
Exactly.
If you're downloading every single one of them, like, it, I mean, a lot of people do that already. It's all digital and shit, and people hate it now. So if it's every game forever and it's the only way you can get them, maybe it's not like,
but then I think you work on like the preloading process and stuff like that, making it normalizing, like, buy it now, pre-order it, get these bonuses, and it'll download over a month.
And honestly, maybe. Or you say, like, we bought this team who work on compression software.
Yeah.
And their game's 100
Pied
gigabytes.
Piper.
Yeah, exactly. The R1 sucked the dick from the middle or whatever happened in that show. And we can get it down to 15 gigabytes or whatever because we're I don't know.
I am interested.
Interesting,
to see,
though, that they get to control possibly the narrative of what is an appealing thing in the next generation of shit.
It sounds dumb, like we just talked about it, like to not foresee, what if Sony are doing this too? They wait for Xbox or Microsoft to announce it.
They've got PS Now, they've got a streaming service already, they've got that stuff in place, but possibly.
They let them test the waters and then a month later go like, here's the one with none of the problems that Microsoft didn't discover. Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know how I'm assuming no fucking company would go, okay, we'll sign an exclusivity deal with Microsoft or whatever. Like, there's no, and you can only play Madden on the Xbox or whatever. That wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
But, and then at what point does it get fucked up because EA and Ubisoft think we could do this? We've got our own streaming, like Origin
Disney
and
Plus
everything.
And stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, how much does it spread out and become unappealing? And then, at what point are you paying fucking $80 a month for a package like fucking satellite TV?
Well, it's happened it has happened with the streaming services where it was like, that's, you know, cable was like all these different channels. And then for a while it was just Netflix. And then in each country, you've kind of got a couple of different versions.
Yeah.
But then Disney/Marvel taking all their stuff off of Netflix and going like, well, now we're going to have our own one because we've got such a vast library.
And they keep showing up and there's only so many times you can hear a new fucking made up word for a streaming service before you're like, no, I'm not getting Scrooba.
Yeah.
There's no chance.
Yeah.
So it's cool though that it could be something new and different. And like,
totally.
It may just again be you choose the one you want. Like in terms of the console war, it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm paying for Sony's exclusive streaming service because I want to play the new Naughty Dog game.
Yeah.
And then Nintendo remains years behind. It's like, yeah, we've got a streaming service for Zelda 1.
Yeah.
So
I would be interested to see, though, with the next round of consoles from PlayStation and Xbox. Like, I think those things will factor in, but I would be interested to see, given the popularity of the Switch as a console and the portability of it, whether that is affecting them at all, or whether they just like stay the course and go. I reckon
it can't, because their thing is being a power.
Yeah,
they can't really afford that. But that also kind of feeds into this shit where a lot of graphics technology is accelerating less quickly than it used to.
Mm.
So the point of difference that you're making with yourself with a new console, if you're releasing it in the next couple of years, might not be that flashy and impressive, which I feel like was almost already, and games look incredible now, but at the turn of the console century,
yes.
I remember thinking like, okay, this doesn't look that different.
That's what happened.
And for 2 years, fucking the same games came out on both.
Yeah.
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 So, and that'll happen again almost definitely. Like Cyberpunk and shit will be on both. Mm. I'm willing to bet.
Yeah. There'll be an upscaled Red Dead Redemption 2. Yeah.
Right.
Will be
exactly.
Like a launch thing on PS5.
Yeah.
You know.
But it could be cool, and it's so early on that they haven't been too specific about details of shit, obviously.
It is. But. I mean, yeah, it is really exciting that this is the point that we're at where there's like because a couple of generations worth of consoles, the changes were just like, oh, well, it looks better.
Yeah.
There's maybe a few subtle, the controller might have another button or two. But now we're into, between the Switch and this Game Pass, like we're into these companies like making these really big moves and having to, because like you said, we kind of have sort of very close to hitting the ceiling on graphics.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff can still get incrementally a little bit better, and but it's not
of
those leaps anymore.
Of course, it will happen again. Like, of course, things will get better. That's just the way technology goes.
But not to the point where it's the selling point where, you know, right. There was a point where it's like, well, this is the best. Look at this over this one.
The technology went up so much, like different types of game became possible, like Assassin's Creed and shit.
Mm.
When you started seeing that, you're like, wow, look at all those people. You couldn't do that before.
I think also a huge thing with PS2 and 3 and the relevant, you know, competitors were DVD and Blu-ray.
Right.
Like 4K is a thing now. And no one cares about that. Physical media is basically dead except for collectors and specialists.
Right. Mm.
So even that is not relevant now. The box itself is less useful.
Totally.
But it's cool to be in a world where, instead of having these three consoles that are all sort of neck and neck, you've got one that's portable, you've got one that's like doing a Netflix-style library thing and then the leasing thing, and then one that, you know, maybe PS's strategy is to head further into the VR kind of realm of things. Like, that's kind of a cool, it is interesting to be in a place where rather than it being, oh, well, Nintendo are doing their own things, if you want one of them you'll get one of them, but then you're all, but and then if you're going to get another one, well, it's PS4, Xbox, is, you know, having three that are all kind of really vastly different is way more of an interesting space to exist in,
because then even more broadly we're at this weird position where like more and more you're like, well, how long does a game exist for? Because so many of them are so tied into being online.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's a game now? Because it's an ongoing service half the time.
That's
now.
It. It's like either they'll switch the servers off in 2 years because it's not popular, or it's the game that you will play for 10 years.
Right. And they're all trying to be that, and they're all trying to integrate all that shit into it. So, that will change vastly. More so than the graphic stuff, that will be the point where it's like every game, apart from some like Bethesda ones and whatever, but even they're doing it with Fallout 76. But
So
who knows, man? By the time this comes out, by the way, we should point out like Fallout 76 and Hitman 2 will be out.
Yes.
And we intend to play both of them. I fucking pre-ordered Fallout 76 because I'm a...
Oh, you did it.
Don't respect myself as much as I respect.
Well, then we should tell people this, that after we recorded last week, we had like a 10-minute discussion about this where we all were just like, I guess we're just going to have to miss this one get in some fucking idiot who is going to play it like Ben Russell or something. And he can just basically do the episode by himself for the week.
Yeah. People understand, like, you know, we're not actually professional reviewers. We just play what we want to play. And
we're all like, one of us should. And I was like, well, it's definitely not going to be me. And like, none of us wanted to do it.
Yeah.
This absolute madman.
I played Metal Gear Survive earlier.
Yeah,
I'm just going to do it. If anyone needs to get whipped, if there's ever a game where it's just like Cat of Nine Tails, I'll play it, man.
Yeah.
I like the ads for it, the TV ads. Have you seen that?
No.
It's like...
I didn't even own a TV, man.
Wouldn't it be nice if that's cool? And there's like, you know, people looking happy.
I've always
around shooting guns.
Liked...
Oh, I have seen that, yeah.
Yeah.
Their ads, their intros, their game intros, all their cinematics.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
This game just looks bad, but I'll tell you more definitively next week, I guess.
I'm excited to play Hitman 2, though.
Hitman 2 will be cool.
Mm.
What else has happened?
What else do we have in the way of news?
So, YouTube is on the Switch now. Fuck, hooray.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 15. This was really weird the way they did this. They were like, there's going to be a stream. Everyone tune in for the Final Fantasy 15 stream. People are like, okay, here we go. Details about the new DLC, which I guess it was. And the details are, it's all cancelled except for one that I guess is basically done.
Yeah.
And the guy making them is fucking off.
He's off to make his own company, though, which is not as damning as him just quitting because... And it would have been understandable. These DLC things are like way too much.
Yeah.
Like he stuck out a long, difficult development process.
That was another long-ass fucking crackdown-y... That, The Last Guardian, they were both early announced in the PS3.
Which I was going to say, like, the only way that you don't fuck it like Crackdown 3 is probably going to is make a really strange and unique and, like, specific vision sort of game, which is what he did.
And what The Last Guardian did too, both of those were, could overstep that weirdness about them. But yeah, Episode Arden will still come out.
Yep.
But the others are cancelled. I don't think you could buy any of them yet as well. So it's not like The Walking Dead or whatever where you pay for something ripped, that won't show up anymore. But although they say they're working, some other company is doing them now, but whatever. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not too fussed about that because I'm so checked out with Final Fantasy 15 in late 2018.
You got to wonder when it from a game that was out so long ago, it's like, who's left out there? Even if you loved that game that is really hanging on after all that time where they'd be like, no!
There were definitely people looking forward to these. But yes. I think the response was a lot more like, this thing's been fucked and weird the whole time. So sure.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who will be disappointed.
I always had in the back of my head that I will play this game again once all this shit's out.
Yeah.
One day.
Yeah.
But so we'll see.
Did you guys
finish
it?
Happens.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
I loved it. It was real fun.
Yeah. I kept playing it after I finished it. I thought it was great. It was my game of the year.
Yeah.
I loved it.
The quirkiness of it was really cool. But
that ambition that clearly this one guy has, and he's.
I mean, probably heaps of other people on the team as well.
I feel like
it takes a village.
It was a lot of meddling. From Square.
Not from the village people I know. They never meddle. Okay. They get a medal for being heroes.
Yeah.
Good dancers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The village people.
Why?
One of them works with metal.
That's true.
That
the cop.
True.
Yeah.
The gun is made of metal.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. I'm curious to see what this guy makes.
Yeah. Same. In 28 years.
Yeah.
After just before Final Fantasy VII's remake comes out. Because Square Enix posted like a big ass loss too. I think partly because those other Final Fantasy DLCs didn't sell as well as they expected or something like that.
Right.
Not really across that. Last thing that I thought was interesting in all of human history, and there won't be anything more interesting happening. There were a couple more things with that Diablo where there were like rumors.
The immediate walk back.
Yeah. I love
about
to
Diablo. Actually,
I love to zigzag. Like they were maybe pulled the Diablo 4 announcement at the last minute and shit, and I don't know. It's just So, but whatever. That thing's a mess, and I'm just gonna, I reckon, let that settle.
Yeah.
Until it comes out and shit, and people actually don't give a fuck.
I got even more annoyed about that story after we recorded last week.
Yeah, you walked out of here screaming.
There was a lot of annoying developments based mostly around the worst aspects of gaming culture.
Right.
Yeah, right.
The
PlayStation Classic, though, I thought this was interesting. Some more details have come out about that. And it's just like, it's worst case scenario for that thing where it's like using just some open source emulator that doesn't have any, you know, legal attachment to it so they can just fucking use it.
Mm.
And that's all it is. It's a little fucking Raspberry Pi thing, essentially, with a PlayStation emulator on it and a nice little case, nice little plastic case.
Which, to be fair, we did talk about how we liked the SNES Classic Mini as a mantelpiece.
Yeah, and kind of that's all any of them are, is just an emulator,
but
essentially.
It's nice
but it's
to
got
know
to work, it's got to run properly.
Right.
Yeah.
So who knows if that will be I don't know.
I don't think people will care. And it's coming out.
Right.
It's a fucking, like we said about the NES Classic Mini, it's just for, it's a thing for on the shelf for aunties to, you know, it's an easy Christmas gift. Or if you're a gamer and you have someone younger in your family who you want to get into all that sort of stuff, it's just nostalgia trip. You know, it really doesn't matter how it runs or how it looks or anything about it. It's just going to sell, you know, shit. Whew, I'm getting all fired up over here. It's going to sell shit tons either way. It doesn't,
yes.
You know, it doesn't matter.
Probably.
It's you're paying, what is it, like $160 or something for the convenience of not having to get a Raspberry Pi thing and get other controllers and hook it up to you. Like, it's like
reviews came out of the NES Classic Mini and it's like, oh, the cords on the controls are a bit short. It's like, oh, okay. Boy, I hope this doesn't hurt the sales. Yeah. Like, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that was really it from the week till now.
The week in news.
Mm. So let's do a
Red Dead 2 check-in because we did say when we reviewed it when we talked about the first week that it, you know, it would, and I felt,
and we
different
talked about it last week as well.
Yes, but I felt differently about it every week. Like I do think it is still worth kind of checking in on.
Cool.
I've gone from I liked it the first week. The last week I was in after a very difficult few hours where it kind of won me over. And now I'm in a borderline abusive relationship with it where I'm going to Perth in a couple of days and getting genuinely yesterday was thinking like, I guess I just have to take the PS4 with me in my suitcase.
I have been thinking the same
thing. Yeah.
Well, because I'm getting right near the end of the story.
Yeah.
And I haven't had any time the last like 3-4 days to finish it up, and I won't for another week
I'm working on a new stand-up show. I need to be out doing gigs. I was like, I should do that this week, just hit some rooms.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, but I've got 3 days and then I'm away for 4 days.
What chapter are you all on?
That's you know, valuable Red Dead 2 time.
Yeah.
I'm still pretty early. I'm chapter 3.
Right.
I'm chapter 4.
I think I'm towards the back end of chapter 6. I can't really tell.
Right.
But like,
I was surprised to see how far in I was. I checked the story progress thinking it was going to be like 3% or something, and I'm on 31%.
Right.
So I was like, oh, okay, I'm like a third of the way through. That's,
I think I'm in the high 60s.
Right.
Ooh, so, how high?
Dude, I don't even remember. If you remember how high the 60s were, you were not in the 60s.
He flipped it on us.
Wow.
But,
that's incredible.
The reversal.
Yeah.
The summer of love. The story, like, is the best thing that Rockstar has written by a mile.
Completely agreed.
Yeah.
There are elements of it that are comparable to great TV shows.
It's getting more and more interesting as it goes on too. And it's built up this fucking pace now towards the end where it's so frustrating to leave it.
Fuck.
Like it's thrusting harder and harder.
Yeah, I definitely found I liked all the writing and everything that
It's annoying how we just actively listen like that.
Yeah. That's really that active listening where you're just constantly talking about beating off or something that's trying to tell you their thoughts.
Give up on your bit.
It's a business technique.
Yeah, I had my dick in my hand. I was just like pumping it. I was liking the chapter where you're in Valentine and that kind of area. And I was liking the writing and a lot of the stuff that was happening. But in terms of it being...
Just to say really quickly as well, we're all aware. We won't spoil any story stuff.
No. But it being... at that kind of area, like I liked everything that was going on, but I didn't feel like there was much of a kind of a cohesive story to that area. I just kind of felt like I was going off and doing random things, and it's all kind of adding up to something and contributing to a feeling. Whereas now I've moved into I've moved camps into the area, the town of Rhodes, where you've got these. Yeah, all of a sudden
the town of Rhodes. Look how many paths and roads we have here. It's spelled like Greek roads.
Yeah. Where all of a sudden you get into a town where it's like, Rhodes. Oh, stuff is happening here, where your gang try and, you know, ingrains itself into, and you're playing these kind of two families off against each other. And so all of a sudden you're involved in a story of a town that is kind of happening before you turn up, and it feels like to me it has a lot more purpose now going forward in the story and in the stuff that I'm doing that is kind of compelling me a lot more than when it just felt like I was doing this kind of random stuff that I was enjoying. But
yeah, I think that a huge reason that Rhodes is more compelling is it is visually distinct.
Yes, yes.
And not just distinct from Valentine, but it has its own personality. Valentine is like boilerplate Western.
Proto, yeah.
It reminds me of where I grew up, which was a weird thing. It was like nice. It's like, oh, hills and trees and like specifically the kinds of trees were very familiar.
Like the saloon that I was raised in.
They were like the landscapes.
The old bank.
The plantation that my parents owned.
I mean, I grew up in a whorehouse, yeah. But, but it was almost like so familiar that it didn't really like carry me away. But as you get further into the game, there are more distinctive areas.
Yeah.
That really, yeah, they just have more personality to them.
But just your whole camp having to be like, well, we got to get out of here. And then you really do feel like you are in a completely different area. Even though it's that classic open world thing where they're like, wow, you know, we're way off the grid now, aren't we? We've really, you know, we're in a completely, it's like, it took me 2 minutes to get here. everyone's carrying on like it is hours away, which in real world geography it's meant to be, but
that's still a big it like those things stand out. I think we kind of have said this similar thing where it's still a video game,
yeah,
you know, and it's still a Rockstar video game, which have such a specific formula to them at this point that sometimes you're like, well, why were you standing here waiting to give me this mission for 19 days?
Yeah.
Or whatever. But it, like that stuff.
But that's again, which I said in weeks past, like all the real world immersion stuff just completely comes undone where it's like your hat gets fucking blown off in a shotgun fight and it's just magically back at you. Just got this magic hat that just reappears in your wardrobe every time you use it.
I don't know if it's a bug or if it's meant to happen and they think it's cool to have this consistency between everything. But I guess at some point, Dutch got shot in the hat in a mission.
Right.
And there's been a bullet hole right at the front middle of his hat for the rest of the game.
Right.
And it really bothers me. I don't want to tell him, like, you got
a new hat.
Got something at the top there. And I think he would have gotten a new hat is maybe the thing.
Sure.
That he seems like a vain man to some extent. So the fact that a little bug can make you think about the content of someone's character is cool.
Yeah.
But
I also like that your horse can hear you whistling from about 15 kilometers away.
But sometimes it can't. Sometimes it can't.
I've pushed it. I got to my first thing the other day where it's like, no, it can't hear you. And it's like, get fucked. Yeah. Like, I've had it come from fucking. And in the same way where, like, if you go and do a mission on foot and you go into a building that kind of triggers a cutscene and you're meant to then follow someone on horse, you go out and the horse is just like things like that. Where it's like, don't fucking tell me it can't hear me. Just get it over here.
I think it's most immersive as an experience outside of the missions. So if you, like, wake up and you get on your horse and you're like, top corner of the map, I'm going there, I'm going to go hunting, I'm going to come across some strangers along the way, do a couple of those like dynamic missions, drop the pelts off in a different city and get back to camp at night, you'll like, it's a perfect experience.
It is. It's a different game at that point, and as I've been getting more into the story, I've just been going mission to mission to mission.
Mm. That's kind of what I'm doing.
A lot more old-fashioned feeling.
Because you mentioned, Ben, that doing that with the map where you've just been kind of going around.
Yep.
And I've been hesitant to do it because I just kind of, you get so locked into the missions that I realize, oh, I guess I could just fucking go wherever I want. Mm. But I've been hesitant to because I really like the way that with going into that new town that I've gone to where it's kind of deliberately unraveled it for me and kind of led me to it. And I'm like, I don't really want to spoil that. I just kind of want to let it take me through it at its own pace.
I think that was a cooler way of seeing all the new stuff in it as well, is to be taken there for a story reason and have all the characters around you going like, wow, look at this or whatever.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's
even just like camera angles, it sets up music that it uses.
Yeah. Fuck, it's got just a lot of music.
It's
again,
music
I think I said, but
so
there's
good.
A fuckload of it.
Yeah.
It's nuts. They've got like a different song for every mission.
Mm.
It's dumb.
Yeah. What's starting to stress me out is with whoever the guy is who's doing the voice of Arthur Morgan. So much of it now where I'm just going, how many days was this cunt in the voiceover booth for? Like, my God.
So, the way the story fans out and comes back in and shit and, like, everything is just going in a real cool direction that I'm enjoying watching.
Mm.
I've seen a few people that we know talk about the hunting and how they've lost hours to that. I haven't done 1 second of that outside of that mission that you have to do early on.
I kind of couldn't figure out how to craft all the shit that it wants you to have to get the clean kills on the animals.
Right.
So I didn't really fuck with that either. But I've reached a point now where I'm like, I'm going to do it all first and then maybe go do all that stuff.
So I'm I am doing a lot of hunting, but I'm getting like good pelts at best.
Yeah.
But I'm just doing it because I enjoy it. Like, I've sitting down to be like, all right, I'm playing for like 2 hours today and I'm going to not do any missions.
Yeah,
so what
right.
am I going to do? I'll just ride around and do what comes in front of me. And yeah, it's just fun.
I can't hear the word come, C-O-M-E anymore. It's just, I can't.
Now that is active listening. That's how you climb the ladder in the corporate realm.
Yeah.
Now when you said come into my office, did you mean C-O-M-E or C-U-M into my office?
You're fired again. Get out.
Get out. Never come back. Excuse me. Yeah, it's a real good game still, and what's in there is cool. But
you gave me one of, I think, the best tips, Ben.
Oh,
you
yeah.
said
tips
to yeah.
That's Adam. Fine.
Yeah,
I haven't okay. been broken in that way yet.
When you came into my house,
yes,
and spilled everywhere.
All over your face.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Make something out of that, Knox.
Oh, I'm 32. How good's that? How fucking good's that? Well, you said loot everyone, which I'd been doing a bit of to try and like raise some money for bounties like early on. And by the way, another great tweet I got during the week, someone saying that my description of the me not being able to clear bounties and stuff made them really angry and like completely fucked them off.
Point me to that tweet so I can like it.
But yeah, your advice of doing that in the missions especially,
yeah.
because those are the guys that are, you know, that are going to have like lots of valuables and stuff on them. And that has been a fucking great tip. That's
one
good
problem
shit.
With that though is that it sends your morality thing down. And the morality being up does lead to some things being available that aren't otherwise.
Really? Like what? Because my morality is all the way down.
Yeah, like
and in the game as well. It's
I don't think this is a spoiler because I think you get some if you're down as well. But I just read before it like they're better in the up one. More interesting or whatever, but
what,
there's
what
some up? Stuff happening or not if you've got high morale.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Low.
Okay.
I'm still like I loot a lot and I'm still kind of I'm in the middle.
You must do a lot of nice stuff as well.
A lot of the yeah. story ends up getting you some nice shit too.
Right.
Like
yeah,
a lot
okay.
of the times you yeah. So anyway, it's
saying hi to people can get you nice.
Exactly.
Right,
there's
right.
There's a lot of stuff that is just. It kind of just happens on its own of its own accord. And it's the same with money. At some point in the story, honestly, you don't really need to worry about money
yes.
anymore.
About it is, halfway through chapter 3.
Yeah. yeah. It's so,
it is a strange thing where...
And also money's not really that useful for anything that you need either.
Yeah.
Mm. Other than like the clothes that are fun to buy and whatever. But you don't really need to buy any guns and shit. And
No. Like the thing I found weird about the looting after a mission though is like often it's like, oh, we killed all these guys and then you've got someone with you who's gone... Come on.
Yeah.
And you just spend ages going through everybody while someone is just going, come on. And you feel like, am I in trouble? Is someone actually going to come and find me and fuck this and fail
yeah.
the mission
they
for me?
They do sometimes and shit. And that's one of the other things as well is that the missions are so rock star and that they don't really let you approach it however you want.
No.
Which the
no.
rest of the game kind of does. But like there was one mission in particular where I thought, oh, I could do it this way. And because the game just didn't want me to do it that way, it failed it out when I really feel like it shouldn't have.
Mm.
Yeah, it is really feeling like it is becoming... The thing where you are just following prompts on a screen.
Yeah.
yeah.
Which feels it's still fun, but it feels very un-video gamey to just be like, do this now.
Yeah.
Do this now.
Or
do this now.
Ultimately video gamey. Like maybe
yeah.
like that's been every Rockstar mission in every
yeah.
one of their games though. Like every GTA, all of them have been that same thing of we are taking you on this particular journey.
I discovered the ledger and everything the other day, which I'd never contributed to camp funds or done
right.
any of that, and I kind of did all that and maxed out the camp and thought, oh cool, and I had heaps of money at the time too. I was like, great,
yeah.
I didn't even know this was back here, great.
right.
And did all that, and then it seems to have been to basically no benefit to me in the game
there's
whatsoever.
A couple things that you get out of it that are all right.
No, I agree. I've found absolutely no benefit.
There's yeah. specifically one thing, which is a fast travel system.
Oh, yeah,
right.
yeah, yeah.
I've never used it. I've had it for
it's
ages.
It's cool. It's
I like to ride places at my
well,
own
it
pace.
It still does that and does it in, I think, a cooler way where it will ride you to a place but with just like three or four quick kind of individual camera angles and scenes on your journey. So rather than literally walking you the whole way, which it does do in the cinematic mode to make it so that you come across the strangers and whatever, I think.
Right.
Predominantly, so the random things can happen to you. But it's this really cool westerny looking stuff
right.
where it'll take you to your goal, but loading it quicker and doing like three or four camera angles along
okay,
the way.
Okay, right.
Which is, I think...
It's probably more useful when
that.
You're further and further on and you're having a like backtrack.
And there's bigger distances
stuff.
You're covering
yeah.
at
yeah,
some
yeah,
point.
Yeah, that's true.
Shit.
I get the coach occasionally.
Right, I get it a lot now.
Right.
Right.
Yes, I still really like just going like... I'm going to play one mission tonight, I guess, and I'm I'm riding the whole way real time.
I think because the game itself, the story picks up more steam, steam engine.
Mm-hmm. I should say you, another thing, Ben, you pointed me to was there was a thread on Reddit about a guy recommending how to like tweak the controls and stuff.
Yeah. My which girlfriend, 23F, wants me, 28M.
Which helped me a lot.
Right.
Like the, it's yeah, we should post it on the socials and stuff because some people might find it helpful, but just little things that now that I've got them in place, I'm like, why wasn't this the default? Like clicking in the button to run as opposed to mashing it and changing the response times to the camera and movement and stuff like that.
The controls are deliberate in how much they want you to feel like you're fucking lolloping around like a big cowboy, but they're bad as video game controls.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're fine.
And they're overcomplicated
after...
too. You can get used to them after like 15 hours.
Well, if you tweak them, I think they're fine.
The left stick, how quickly that moves him doesn't change ever.
I disagree. You know what I mean? I still think they're bad. I've just gotten used to them.
It's The Witcher 3. It's the same shit as that, where I ended up not giving a shit about that either. But towards the start, you're like, why the fuck?
Yeah, I really, I hated them so much that I stopped playing The Witcher 3.
Right.
And then went back in and didn't notice them at all. Yeah.
And Red Dead's the same thing. Once you're doing it, and once you're used to it, whatever, this is what video games are now.
Yeah.
Is what your head turns into. Like if you play an older game, you forget that graphics can be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just like, this is what a video game looks like.
Yeah. I went back and tried to play Breath of the Wild before Red Dead 2 came out.
Yeah.
And like the sprint is like the top button I found it really confusing.
Jump is X.
Yeah, jump is the top button.
Yeah, and then run is the bottom one. And so if you want to run and jump, that's a bit annoying. But yeah, it goes away after a certain number of hours, though.
Yeah.
But it's just a bit annoying at first and can probably... I can see why a lot of people are saying they're bouncing off of it quite quick.
Mm.
Because I think that's fair enough as well. Like, it's a pretty specifically made thing. And if you don't gel with it, after a while, you're just not going to, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
No, well, I mean, I wasn't, and I kind of made myself persevere.
I think it's not unreasonable to not want to spend 15 hours on something.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To like it.
There are so many games where I've heard, like, Final Fantasy 13 gets good at the 40th hour. It's okay, well, fuck that game then.
Yeah. I don't want to have to watch a movie 7 times to like it.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
2001, A Fucking Space Odyssey.
I think there's a case to be made that, like, if you're playing Red Dead and enjoying it, you're really not allowed to complain about anything where you have the lifestyle that is going to allow you to sink hours and hours and hours into a fucking pretend cowboy game that spends a big chunk of time at the start going like, yeah, you don't like this, do you? You really don't like this, do you? But, you know, just try me. Yeah. Just fucking try me, pal.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the real cowboy attitude.
It's opposite of dating, where like...
Here we go.
Starts off really positive and you're like really trying to be a better person. Mm-hmm. And as you settle in, it becomes less enjoyable.
Right. So this game is like you've gone on the first date with Al Bundy.
Yes.
You know, where he's just like flushing
the toilet.
He's got his
hand in his pants.
Yeah. Give me a beer, Peg. It turns out he's like a really good lover.
Oh, boy.
Was that Bill Burr as Al Bundy?
Yeah.
He's gold digging.
Flushing the toilet over here.
Oh, that's the worst Bill Burr I've ever heard. My one, I mean.
But so when's this when's this goddamn online launching?
So I saw them say maybe late November. I think they've still been cagey about it.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a...
That's like 2 weeks away, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell.
It won't be that. Like, that'll be about the same amount of time between GTA 5 coming out in the online. I'd imagine it'll be something similar to that.
Mm. I never got in. I tried... I've said this before, but I tried to get in on the ground floor of GTA Online when it launched. But in my old house, we had the worst internet.
It was also just fucked at the start.
I never went back
forever to some extent, where the load times are really fucking long in it.
Mm. Mm.
I don't think it was very good, and I don't get why it's so massive.
Yeah, I agree.
The online of that. Yeah. So Red Dead 2 online, I don't think we really know what much of it's going to be. There's some stuff that's come out of, like, you can buy a house or live in a cave or you can do real similar shit to the GTA 5 online thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be open world still, maybe some cowboys around.
Maybe.
Whoa.
Might be aliens.
Can't wait for the listeners to hold your feet to the fire on this one when there's nary a cowboy in sight.
Yeah. But I think they've said that it will be a lot smoother to go in and out of the more arcadey, mission-y sort of traditional online-y things than GTA 5 was, which just took fucking forever.
Yeah. Just quickly, I just remembered one thing that happened to me last night in the game. I came across a clan meeting and killed them all.
Yes,
I God damn, that felt good.
I've heard a lot about the clan being in this and that they're like goofy.
They're real goofy.
That like, and not to characterize them as fun-loving goofy, to characterize them as inept, dumbass goofy.
Foolish, yeah.
But I haven't run across them yet.
You got to go out at night.
Yeah.
Never. Well, no, I do. I go out at night all the time.
I found
that's
them.
Where they are.
I found them having a cross burning, and I just kind of stood and watched them. And then I thought, this is gonna be so good. I'm just gonna get to fucking murder all of them. And then I shot one of them in the head, and they all pulled guns on me. I'm like, the fuck are they? Who are they keeping these guns in these fucking big?
It's not
sheets?
Like the clan to have weapons.
but they're on. You know, they're having a nice little social time around the cross. You know,
everyone's got a gun.
Yeah. I know. I was mistaken. I really thought that they'd be all unarmed and I'd just get to do some slaughtering. That is where it's like you can antagonize people and it's like who knows which way it's going to go. I'm yet to have an interaction where I'm like being a bit of a dick to someone where they don't just pull a gun on me
immediately
within 3 seconds.
Yes. I've had some people run away or just ignore it.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, no, they always pull a gun on me.
But I'm mainly just greeting people.
I saw the clan meeting and I threw a stick of dynamite at it and it was so good.
Oh, sick. I should have done that.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm going to hog time all and put them on the train tracks.
Oh,
that's pretty cool.
So a friend of the show, Peter Jones, was telling me a story yesterday about him playing Red Dead. And he was like, okay, I want to rob a train. Here's an idea. He said actually he thought of this idea in bed the night before and waited till the morning to do it. I'm going to get a stagecoach and park it across the tracks. Then the train will stop and I'll rob the train.
That's just a mission that you
was
do.
Was his idea. But he was like, I'll do that out just in the world and see if it works.
Okay.
So he gets a stagecoach, robs a stagecoach, goes over, parks it on some train tracks. Choo-choo. He hears off in the distance.
Knock
it. Bubblegum man is coming. And the train is chugging towards it. And right as it gets to the stagecoach, he realizes the track forks just where he's put the stagecoach. And he's put it on the wrong fork. So the train goes right past
him. He's a Buster Keaton movie.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a way better story, though, than if that had worked.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, that's such a better interaction.
Yeah.
I hope people... that would be next level immersion is if, like, people are hanging out the window. Know the train just hanging shit on him as they're going past.
So
fucking idiot.
Is there any particular online thing that would draw you to it? Because I imagine all three of us are on a similar page here where we're probably not going to really get invested in the online in all likelihood.
It depends. It really depends. If it has like a persistent world, like a massively multiplayer game,
right?
I will get into that. I don't care about like doing little duels and shit.
It'll be half and half if it's anything like GTA Online where you kind of have your stuff still and you go into new
heists
versions
and shit
of the city or the country every time.
Yeah. I don't know.
Probably not.
It won't be everyone in the same map for sure.
Well, no, that's impossible.
An upper limit of however many people, so it can't be those same people every time, so it has to do different instances of the thing as it
it's
goes.
Kind of the same as like with all the extra stuff that is in games now, like the hunting and everything, where you were saying you'll do a bit of that after you finish the story, where I kind of never really go back into stuff after I've done the credits because I get very stressed about my list of unfinished games, and there's a part of me where I'm like, even if I'm enjoying it and loving it and sort of not wanting it to be an end, I'm like, God, I can't wait. I just want this to be done.
Sure.
So it's crossed off the list and it's done and then new stuff comes out and I can move on to that.
I'm very similar where like when I can have some sort of thing to go, this game could be considered finished.
Exactly, right. It's done.
I'm out.
Yeah.
See, there are certain things that would make me do this online stuff. If it's like, hey, if you can buy a house buy a bigger house after that, if you can make the stuff in your house nicer, if you can like go out and start hunting more and get better pelts and put them on the wall. Like,
you just want them to turn it into No Man's Sky.
Cowboy, yeah.
It will probably be exactly that with sort of the other people fucking around in the world, different people every time, and then you can do a bank robbery together or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wonder as well how much of it will be any fun to get because they'll try and monetize it a lot.
Right. Here's my biggest question about it.
What is the meaning of life?
So they've gone pretty wild with a lot of the stuff they've ended up putting into GTA Online.
Wild West.
Are you proud of yourselves?
Wiggity wiggity.
I'm prouder of myself because I said Wild West and Nox just said Wild Wild.
But the West was implied.
It was implied?
Yes. If you hear Wild Wild... Your brain doesn't immediately go, like Wild Wild West.
No.
It's the only thing that's ever said wild twice.
I'm going to have to side with him.
It's a wild, 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 wild world. It's a wild, 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 wild west.
Will they keep it sort of strictly western flavor, or will they end up putting fucking big ramps and shit? You know what I mean? Like, right. I wonder how much they're going to rock star and just be like, hey, guess what? There's a Porsche in this now.
I think it'll be midway where it's like, come to the Carnival of Fascinations, and one of them is a loop-de-loop and shit. So right, it'll be kind of old west, and it'll be some guy going like, oh, you can go on the big roller coaster. Mm. It's the new things, hot out of California, the roller coaster. And then you get on it and it's something that isn't western really, but they've given it a tinge of...
Because there's all the stuff that we, the three of us, dislike about the kind of rock star sensibility and, you know, sense of humor and everything isn't in this game at all. Mm.
There was one moment where there was a fart during a cutscene. Oh, and other than that, it has been across the board good writing.
Exactly. Mm. So, but it makes me think.
And that fart was still fine. I shouldn't judge it too much, honestly.
That was just you playing it. That doesn't count. You can't level that at Rockstar. But the, you know that meme where it's like the kid in the vein popping out of his head? Mm. It's like when it's been five. It feels
what
like.
What are we doing here? Are we describing a meme here?
But is that like, what we're doing like at the end of this Rockstar podcast? Rockstar having to have held themselves back from putting any of that shit in there.
There was no other way you could have said that.
The online. No, there wasn't. I'm trying to connect with our youthful audience, right. Adam.
Well, dabba dabba do.
That's not bad. Dabbing Fred Flintstone.
Ooh. The intersection of people who remember Fred Flintstone, though.
Everyone, who doesn't remember Fred Flintstone?
Children.
People who dab, yeah.
Yeah.
No, people know Fred Flintstone.
No way. Even the technology that the animals were... The technology that the animals were pretending to be in the Flintstones is now unrelatable to children.
Actually, yeah, that's a good point.
A flamingo or whatever pretended to be a phone.
Yes, no rotary phones anymore.
No. Yeah,
that's a good point. You know what's good? There's a Flintstones comic that came out last
week. Dude, anyway. A fucking modern technology, but animals are pretending to be at Flintstones. That's not
what
a bad
this
idea.
Comic is.
Oh, what's a laptop?
I can't remember.
Not
I
much. Read, what's a laptop with you?
I read it. I didn't memorize fucking all the animals in it.
Right.
But yeah, I really, that's my big fear is that they'll end up really rock-starring it up and having, and somehow using this as the vehicle for getting all their fucking bullshit that they love doing in there.
I mean, it will be that probably, but I'm also kind of all right with that being in the separate thing that the
online. Oh, of course. I don't, yeah.
So,
but it's the thing that would make me go, I'm not going to bother with this at all.
Right. Mm. Yeah, cool. I reckon that's a week.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah, I got a couple things that I was going to race through, or should I save them for next week? What do you guys think?
How quick is racing?
How are we doing for time?
We've just done an hour.
Okay.
Fuck.
And at some point, I have to leave.
Yeah, maybe we'll... So you're not just going to live in my house forever now?
if you're offering.
I'll leave it then. I've been playing a little bit of... I've been playing a little bit of World Ends with you, Okami, and Iconoclasts.
Okay.
And I tried to play Dark Souls.
Okay.
Well, yeah, we'll hear about them, I guess.
So, well, my point is, the reason I was going to bring them up was is in tying to having to leave Red Dead behind and go to Perth for 4 days. Mm. So these are all things that I kind of like had put a bit of time into on the Switch and sort of liking all of them, some more than others, but yeah, those are the four that I was kind of dicking around with before Spider-Man and then Red Dead.
And we'll be able to do in Perth as well.
Hmm?
You'll be able to go back to them in Perth.
Yeah, I'm gonna sink some time in on the plane and in that lonely hotel room.
Well,
unless I do decide to roll the dice and take my PlayStation with me.
Don't do that.
Nah.
It's a pretty cool move. I just sort of want to do it to say that I've done it.
Whatever TV is in the hotel will be bad enough that you won't want to use it anyway.
I'm staying in the place I stayed in last year, and I know for a fact that it's good enough.
Ooh.
And it's one of those ones where it's like sticking out of the wall so you can get access to the HDMI port.
I feel like this motherfucker's made his mind up.
Yeah.
I know this because I took my Switch dock with me last year.
Well, enjoy feeling like a goddamn idiot when you have to put that through the X-ray machine at the airport.
I can't put it. No, but that's the thing. I can't put it in my suitcase.
Mm. Okay, well, good.
Yeah, it's not. Oh, fuck. You know what? Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. That's it for another week.
Next week, Hitman 2 and Fallout 76 and all those games Tommy mentioned.
Yep, yep. Yes, get with us on the socials, filthycasuals.com.au. We got links to all that stuff.
Shit, yeah.
We got the Bandcamp premium episodes. We've got the Patreon. You can support us on that if you'd like to. Thank you to everyone who does that. It's very much appreciated.
Yeah.
And yeah, we'll see you next time, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Yeah, it's a PS4. No, I know I'm getting on a flight. It's a PS4 that I'm bringing with me on this flight. No, I don't want to go into the room with you. No, it's not a. It's a PS4.
What's this in relation?
PlayStation
to?
4.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.